Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as James, he's our guy.
We still got James Harden. Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jimothy Edward Harden Jr. has gone AWOL, and the fate of the Rockets clings in the balance. What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now, let's rewind a little bit here momentarily. So to build up to this moment, the Rockets had their first team practice Sunday morning where they had been doing individual workouts up until that point, and it was reported that James Harden was supposed to be there for the team practice earlier in the week. Now, there were concerns. Essentially, James Harden was practicing, doing individual workouts of his own accord at the University of Houston. We have film footage of that he was working out one-on-one at U of H using their facilities, but then he left to go attend rapper Lil Baby's birthday party in Atlanta and subsequently continued to keep chopping it up and is currently still in Las Vegas, of all places, and has yet to report to training camp, has yet to report to the Rockets' first team practice. And then it was reported after we found out that James Harden did not make it to the first team practice for the Rockets that he was going to be doing an individual practice later that evening, Sunday night. And then Tim McMahon from ESPN reported very late Sunday evening that James Harden did not report for his individual workout and that he is in communication with management, but that he is not back in Houston yet and that he will be returning at a later date. So there's a lot to unpack from this. We also heard from the actual media day, from the players and Steven Silas that we actually heard from. We heard from Silas. We heard from John Wall, spoke to the media for the first time since making it to Houston. And we also heard a little bit from Christian Wood. Christian Wood's availability was rather short, just about 3 minutes long. I'll kind of highlight some of his points later on. But we will hear from John Wall and Steven Silas here in segment two and then kind of unpack more stuff in segment three. Christian Wood just kind of spoke on the fact that DeMarcus Cousins has been a huge help to him. You know, the leadership qualities of Cousins and Wall are very apparent in these practices. That kind of thing. So nothing major coming from Christian Wood. A lot of the juicy stuff came from John Wall and Steven Silas. But first things first, regarding this Harden situation, and there's a lot of different ways that there was a 50-50 consensus kind of, with 50% of people feeling one way, 50% feeling kind of the other way, and I hadn't quite decided which way I was leaning. About what was going on with the fact that he hadn't reported for the first team practice, and things have gotten significantly worse now that he didn't report for the individual practice in the evening as well. But, you know, the first line of thinking is pretty straightforward, just, okay, Harden is out. He requested a trade. He's given up on Houston. He doesn't believe in this franchise anymore, and this is his way of pouting or showing up management or, just basically being reckless and deciding he's just going to do whatever he wants to do in violation of the NBA's COVID-19 safety protocols, which are extremely strict, with the possibility of players who are violating these protocols forcing their organizations to execute disciplinary actions on the players, as well as the fact that organizations might be fined. They could potentially lose draft picks, that kind of thing. So these COVID-19 safety protocols are very serious. However, Adrian Wojnarowski, when originally reporting on it, did specifically use the term in-season safety protocols. So the other line of thinking, other than James Harden has given up on this organization, is, look, Harden is a guy who is known for partying. He's known for, you know, going out, hitting up clubs, hitting up strip clubs, lounges, bars, whatever, right? And maybe this was his one last hurrah, right? His one last chance to go out with a gigantic bang, you know, a good friend of his, you know, little baby, you know, his birthday party, that kind of thing. And so he goes out, he has a great time for like a week, four or five days, however many days it's been since he left Houston originally. And he's getting this one last big party in to kind of quench his thirst, so to speak, before he has to hunker down and really, you know, file away for the NBA season. I am less inclined to believe that second option now, based on the fact that he didn't make it back in time for his individual workout and the fact that he said that he would be here for the team workout and then that didn't happen. Then he said he would be here for the individual workout, then that didn't happen. So at least he's communicating with management now. There's one silver lining there. But my main takeaway from all this, and this is just a total indictment on James Harden and really his character, which is painful. But for him to be this reckless, to be going out and partying it up and chopping it up when, you know, there are people dying left and right from COVID-19 is absolutely ridiculous. Karl Anthony Towns, Cat, has had 7 family members die from COVID-19, including his own mother. And for James Harden, one of the faces of the NBA, one of the top 5 players in the league, to just completely shirk any sense of responsibility, any sense of individual, and this isn't even, I don't even care about the damn politics of the NBA, about what this looks like for the Rockets or for the NBA at large or whatever. I'm talking about from a human perspective. As a human looking at another human, I think it's just absolutely unbearably ridiculous that James Harden can't look at himself and say, yeah, this is probably not super cool. There are hundreds of thousands of people who have lost their lives to COVID. Meanwhile, he's out chopping it up, partying it up like it doesn't exist. And, you know, if any one of us, I would hope, you know, if you saw a friend of yours or a family member of yours, you know, out at a party similar to what James Harden was doing, you would give them a talking down to because it's ridiculous. Nobody should be doing that right now. The sense of entitlement to, you know, go to these, you know, super spreader events, these large gatherings. And in the videos that we saw, there were a few people wearing some masks here and there, but largely it didn't look like anybody was wearing masks. Nobody was being safe, you know, all that stuff. So I'm frustrated beyond belief. And it's a very bad look. It's a very bad look for James Harden as a person. It's a very bad look for the NBA. And it's a very bad look for the Rockets franchise. And the fact that they're stuck kind of in limbo right now, with James Harden not knowing what's going on, not knowing what direction they're going to go in. And ultimately, I feel pretty terrible for Stephen Silas, who inherited this cluster of a situation and is now trying to make the best out of it that he can. And we'll hear from John Wall and Silas here in just a second. And you're going to notice that when Silas is asked questions about James Harden, he is not his usual energetic, enthusiastic self. And then when he gets asked actual basketball questions, the lights turn back on, the passion is back there. And that's what makes me feel so bad for him, is that he is so passionate. He loves the game of basketball, and this is his first chance to be a head coach, and yet it's being marred by this, you know, petulant behavior from the Rockets superstar. And look, maybe Harden still shows up. Maybe he still shows up to training camp later. Yeah, you know, late is better than never. And maybe he shows up and things do work itself out. But this is still a really bad look. And Rockets fans, you know, and people, you know, media around the NBA, the national media especially, nobody's going to forget this. This is a bad look for a superstar player. And maybe Harden just doesn't care anymore. But he's going to have to deal with the repercussions of what this does to his image in the long term. So we'll get to John Wall and Stephen Silas's Media Day interviews here in just a second, clips from both of them in segment 2, and then continue to discuss those in segment 3 after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. protein bars. You either love them or you hate them. And it's time for you to start loving protein bars with Built Bar. They've got 18 delicious flavors that you can choose from. Some of the newer ones, the new ones on the block, cookies and cream, carrot cake, some of the OG flavors, German chocolate, double chocolate mousse, my personal favorite, salted caramel. Just can't go wrong with really any of them. You know, and these bars, they're not like traditional protein bars because they're soft, they're easy to chew, they're not chalky or gritty like some other protein bars on the market. They're covered in 100% delicious chocolate, and basically they're candy bars. They're not even protein bars. They're candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. They're great for the health conscious person, whether you're trying to lose or you just maintain weight. They're low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They are amazing if you're on a keto diet, great for a keto diet. And you can check them out. Just go to builtbar.com and use promo code locked on, and you'll actually get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code locked on for 20% off at builtbar.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Be sure to check back later in this week. We're going to have the podfather himself, Ben DuBose, on to kind of discuss everything going on, all the issues surrounding this, plaguing this franchise, better wording there. And we'll also have Matt Moore on as well of the Action Network HQ as well. So kind of we'll get a bit more of a local viewpoint from DuBose, and then more of a national viewpoint from Matt Moore a little bit later this week. So don't want to miss out on either of those episodes. Now, as promised, we're going to have John Wall's media availability, a little bit of that first, then we'll jump into Silas's, and then we'll come back in segment three and kind of break down a little bit more of this situation. So let's go ahead and dive into John Wall's media availability.
Hey, John, welcome to Houston.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Sir, having not played in almost 2 years, how do you feel currently, and how was the first practice for you?
I feel great, man. I mean, the last 2 years, I've dedicated myself to trying to get my body in the best position I can to have a heck of a comeback and finish my career off whenever I decide to do that at the best of my ability. So, and the first practice is great, man. I mean, just doing my job is trying to be a leader, be the point guard on the floor, tell guys where to be, things I see. It's all a new adjustment for me, the whole coaching, most of the coaching staff and myself and a lot of new guys we brought in. We're just trying to fit in and figure out how to make this team the best we can be to go out there and compete at a high level every night. And we're going to make a lot of mistakes early on, but that's what this practice is for, training camp for, and that's what a couple of the preseason games are going to be for.
Mike Brandon.
Hi, John.
When
you had a chance to attempt to reach out and talk to Jake Harden since you were traded here?
Oh, yeah. Me and James had a great talk since I've been traded here. And, I mean, we've been friends way before this. And, you know, through what's going on right now, you know, I mean, it's because of the testing protocol and things like that. We're going to figure out what's the best decision when you want to get here and be here. And we've been on the same page since I've been traded here.
Tim McMahon.
Following up on that, what is your read, having talked to James about his, you know, his staying with the Rockets, you know, does he want to be in Houston? Do you envision him being a Rocket this season?
For sure. That was the main reason why, you know, I mean, talking through the whole process of what was going to happen with this trade, if it happened or did not happen, is one of the reasons that we wanted to play together. So I have high ability and 100% effort that he wants to be and be a part of his organization and see what happens with this team and see where we can go.
Adam Spoelling.
John, the Marcus the other day talked about how you two have kind of been dreaming and planning out ways to be able to play with each other again. What's it like to now be able to share a locker room?
It was dope, man. My first, I got here Thursday and I did all these physicals and tests and I was like, man, I'm in the doctor for 8 hours. I'm trying to get out of here and just see Houston a little bit, enjoy it. This is a new home, something new for me. I've been in a place in D.C. for 10 years. And Friday we got on the court for the first time and me just walking out there and seeing he got the same color I got on and we're on the same team kind of brought back memories from when we was in college. And I know how hard he's working, what he's been through the last couple of years to try to get back to being a DeMarcus Cousins he was before, and the last 2 years have been basically hell for me. So I know what I've been through also. So it's great, and we both challenge each other. We said, while we're here and while we're teammates, we're going to challenge each other to get the best out of each other so we can have a heck of a season.
And that does it for John Wall, who is a very candid interview. You know, just, you know, definitely sees like it seems like he's speaking his mind and definitely seems confident, at least, in in what he and Harden are going to try and accomplish here in Houston, which bodes well. That's some good news, you know, because why would John Wall feel the need to lie about Harden and his commitment to Houston? Because that's just going to make John Wall either A, look like he's lying, you know, if Harden doesn't actually pull through, or B, it just makes him look like an idiot. And I don't think John Wall is either of those things. So that, you know, instills a little bit of confidence. So let's go ahead and jump into Stephen Silas's here next.
No, he didn't take place in today's practice. Due to the NBA protocol, he is not able to practice with the rest of the team, but we're expecting him for a individual workout sometime this evening.
What do you mean by NBA protocol? Can you elaborate on that?
Just the rules that the NBA has as far as testing and whatnot. Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry, I got cut off.
Yeah. James on Instagram posted pictures of him partying maskless at the weekend. What is your understanding of when he might be able to practice? What has to take place for him to be cleared to practice with the team? And what, if any, communication have you had with James since we last talked to you?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what hoops he has to jump through in order to practice with the team. I know he has been following the protocol as far as I know, but I haven't had communication with him. And at some point, like I said, this evening, he's supposed to do an individual workout. And at some point after that, he will be with the team practicing.
Next question.
Jonathan
Fagan. Yeah, Coach. Whatever was necessary for James to have made himself available, whatever steps, what are your feelings about that not having been done? And then what does that indicate? We were talking last week with you about what his commitment might be. Does that indicate anything or cause concern about his level of commitment?
I wouldn't say it's his level of commitment. I would just say, you know, I want him here, and I want him to be a big part of what we're doing, and I'm excited to coach him and have him be a part of what we just had out there with a good practice, with a bunch of guys who are working hard on both ends of the floor and had a good vibe about them. So that's what I'm looking forward to having him here and having him do.
Did everyone else participate?
No, PJ Tucker did not participate as well. I saw him this morning. I believe he's getting an individual workout as well at some point, but he did not participate.
Thank you.
Hey, Coach, I know there's probably only so much you can take away from one practice, but what did you learn about your team today?
Oh, I learned a lot of good stuff about our group. We have a hardworking group, a good group of guys who listen well, who are pulling for each other. John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins are great vocally. They're both very smart. We're talented. Christian Wood's talent stood out today. Eric Gordon's veteran savvy stood out today. So there's a lot to learn. I'm going to watch the film of practice and kind of get to the details about it. But every drill was good and hard. And there's a lot of good communication out there. And for our first practice, I thought it was very good.
How are you doing?
Hey, Coach. Just between you and the staff, can you describe what will be the most important part of between now and preseason?
Yeah, we're treating this situation as from the 6th to the 23rd, right? So we're not really concentrating so much on the 6th to the 11th, which is our first preseason game. We're thinking about this in the long term. So we're really concentrating a lot on the defensive end and making sure that we're being attentive to the details of what we're going to be doing defensively, whether it's playing a little bit more standard or switching, and same thing offensively, just making sure that we're versatile in a bunch of different ways while going at a pace that makes sense, that they're not being confused or whatever. And with this kind of ramp up that we've had with the individual workouts going into scrimmaging and whatnot, the guys have to get in better shape. They just do. So it's going to be a long, we're taking the long game as far as from the 6th to the 23rd.
And that does it for Coach Silas. So coming up here in just a moment, we will be discussing those two availabilities and kind of continuing the discussion surrounding everything going on, the question marks surrounding this franchise. And we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. So it's kind of difficult to find any saving grace for Harden at this point, because my thing is, in this day and age, right, where a star player could pick up their phone at any point and issue a message, a coherent tweet to say, hey, this is what's going on, this is what's happening, all that stuff. Rather, instead, Harden decides to be cryptic because after Silas's press conference, where Silas questioned Harden's commitment, or not press conference, I should say, the media availability, but where he questioned Harden's commitment to the organization, or basically just said, what he said, you're going to have to ask Harden yourself, his commitment to the organization. Harden posted posted an emoji to his Instagram story, and it's essentially a lot of people decoded it as saying, Harden didn't realize that there were cameras at the party that he was at. But it's just childish behavior. You go back all the way to when the Brooklyn Nets rumors were at their peak and Harden was, doing the whole Under Armour bottle cap thing, and we were all trying to decipher, does it mean cap or no cap? Is he talking about the trade is BS? Is it real? Whatever. Star player, anybody, any celebrity, anything, athlete, whatever, can jump on Twitter or Instagram or any of their socials and squash these rumors with, a simple 30-second video or tweet or post, whatever, and it would be so easy. I'm going to line it up similar to what happened with Russell Westbrook, how he took the bull by the horns back when he had COVID-19 before the bubble and jumped on Instagram and immediately just told everybody, yeah, I have COVID-19. I'm doing well. I'm isolating. No symptoms. And I'll join my teammates in the bubble as soon as I can. Meanwhile, on the other side of the aisle, a lot of people, myself included, think that James Harden had COVID-19 but never came out and publicly said anything about it. Because why else would he be delayed in joining his team in the bubble when COVID is pretty much the only reason that players were being delayed going into the bubble? So it's just not within his personality type. That's just who he is. He doesn't, he's not going to ever come out and directly face something. The one time that he did do that was when he wore the Blue Lives Matter mask into the bubble, and then he came out a couple days later and issued a statement realizing that he didn't know that the mask that he was wearing was carried any type of a political opinion associated with it. So, Harden is largely a guy who stays out of the spotlight, but at the same time, this behavior, this cryptic messaging, on social media is just ridiculous. When he's AWOL, when he's not, reporting for camp, and you can make the argument, right, that look, he's the star player, he gets to do what he wants, he doesn't have to report to camp as long as he shows up at some point. I mean, I don't like that argument either. It's just bad leadership at this point. And you've got guys, Ben McLemore on Saturday during his media availability said that he, you know, believed that James Harden and James Harden leadership, James Harden's leadership was going to be here this season and that he was going to be a big part of what this team accomplishes. Silas reiterated that he wants to work with James Harden, that he wants to have him here to discuss things with him and you know, get the ball rolling. And John Wall's confident in it, but, you know, every move that Harden has made at this point, every decision that he has made at this point, or, you know, not made at this point, is poorly reflecting on his person, on his, you know, on his value as a leader for this organization. And there's a lot of Rockets fans that are already turning on him. There's a lot of people that are sick of the shenanigans, that wish that he would just grow up and, you know, actually act like a leader of a team instead of being out there partying until God knows what time in the morning in Vegas and not reporting for his workouts. There's until we know exactly what the situation is with Harden, until he reports to Rockets training camp, until we see video footage of him on the Toyota Center court getting shots up, you know, participating in drills, that kind of thing, I'm going to take everything with a grain of salt, because it's hard to trust what he's actually going to do at this point. It's hard to sit here and say, oh yeah, this team has a legitimate shot at, you know, making the playoffs. On paper, they look really good because they've got, you know, they're more versatile, they've got more talent, all these things. And that's the most frustrating issue in all of it, is that between Silas, between all these new players, between the revamped roster, everything, James Harden doesn't even look like he's giving it a chance at this point. It looks like he is doing whatever he wants to do on his end. It's, you know, there's the rumor that he wanted Ty Lue as the head coach and not Steven Silas, and that he hasn't been in communication with Steven Silas at all. Even Silas going so far as to say that he hasn't been in communication with James Harden, or if they have been communicating, maybe it's just, you know, very infrequent text messages, phone calls, that kind of thing. Silas did say that he was giving Harden his space after the Russell Westbrook trade, so maybe that plays a role into it. But for Steven Silas, a rookie head coach, to have to come in and deal with this mess of a situation is just painful. Because, again, you can see how passionate the guy is about the game of basketball and how much this means to him, this opportunity. And it's just being completely overshadowed. Any and all other storylines are being overshadowed by the dark cloud surrounding James Harden and his future with this organization, where, again, he could just come out and squash all those rumors by just saying, look, even if he came out on Twitter, right? I would be less upset if James Harden just came out on Twitter and was like, look, I'm going to have to lock down for the entire NBA season and not get to party it up at all. So I'm having a little bit of fun in Vegas. I'm hanging out with a good friend of mine and we're just chopping it up. I'll be at training camp. Don't worry, Houston, I got you. That's all it would take. He could fit all that in one tweet, right? And then everybody would be less panicked, not worried, whatever. But that's not the world that James Harden lives in. That's not the world that superstar players or super, you know, celebrities live in. Is they live in their own little world, and they can't tell that their behavior at times is, you know, largely unbelievable to the masses. You know, if for you listening to this, from me, for the media that cover him, everybody's trying to figure out what is going on through James Harden's mind. Meanwhile, what's going on through James Harden's mind is that he's probably just trying to party it up and that he doesn't care what anybody else thinks. James Harden has largely tuned out the media to this point in his career. So why would he start listening now? Why would he suddenly care what, you know, the fans and the media think at this point? But it's just such a disservice to the people that cover him, to the fans that cheer for him, that have cheered for him and defended him for 8 years here in Houston. And, you know, for him to just suddenly not care is kind of a giant slap in the face. And I hope that things turn around. I hope that he reports to camp, and I hope that, you know, they make this thing work, and that, you know, this is just, again, one last hurrah, however irresponsible, which that doesn't change that fact that it's still totally irresponsible for him to do that. But maybe this is just his way of getting, you know, that one last party and that one last hurrah before having to lock down and really focus in on the season. I hope that's what it is, because this Rockets team is not going anywhere without James Harden. And that's the catch-22 of the situation, is you can't exactly... You can discipline him, I guess, sure, but this team only goes so far as James Harden takes you. And he recognizes that. He knows that this team, this organization, starts and stops with him and what he's willing to or not willing to do. And so if James Harden wants out, if James Harden is not committed to this team, this Rockets team isn't going anywhere. John Wall, Boogie Cousins, and Christian Wood is not going to be a fringe contender without a bought-in James Harden. Now, if James Harden does report and he is bought in, there's a very high ceiling for this team. There's a lot of talent on this roster, and they could potentially make something happen. But as it stands right now, we're just waiting to hear more. We will be getting, you know, more interviews with Coach Silas and individual player interviews in the coming days. It is worth noting that P.J. Tucker also wasn't in the bubble. Or not in the bubble, I apologize. In the, I got so used to saying in the bubble. P.J. Tucker also wasn't at training camp. Had not reported to training camp yet. So my running headcanon at the time was that P.J. Tucker went to rescue James Harden from his, we'll call it his Dennis Rodman moment in Vegas, and that P.J. Tucker went to go drag him out of a club in Vegas to bring him back to Houston, which is why neither of them reported to the Rockets' first team practice. Now, P.J. Tucker was also reported to supposedly have an individual practice later that evening, just like James Harden, and we don't know if P.J. Tucker actually attended that or yet. There was no report confirming or denying that P.J. Tucker made it to his individual practice. So, a lot up in the air, a lot of questions, and hopefully we will get some answers in the coming days over the course of this next week as we continue to chat with Rockets brass and figuring out what in the hell is going on with James Harden. But for today's episode, that's going to be where we drop things off. So as always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.